In Manhattan, New York, Tim Keller, he once said that a 1970 Sunday school teacher, children's church worker, changed his life with a simple illustration. Don't ever overlook the power of a illustration in a child's, because they somehow respond so much easier than adults. But it was these, the teacher said, let's assume the distance between the earth and the sun is 92 million miles. I haven't measured it, but I'm told on good authority that's 92 million miles. And it was reduced to just this sheet of paper, that distance between you and the sun, just a sheet of paper. And in that case, the distance between the earth and the nearest star would be a stack of papers 70 feet high. 70 feet high, the nearest star beyond the sun would be 70 feet high. And the diameter of the galaxy would be a stack of papers 310 miles high. And that's just one galaxy in the universe. So you start with a single sheet of paper. What's that? I don't know, less than half a millimeter, tiny micrometers. And then you go to 70 feet to the next star. Then you go to the extent of the galaxy, 310 miles high. What's that? Up to the top of John O'Groats, somewhere up there. But this is what Keller's teacher added. He said, the galaxy is just a speck of dust in the universe. Yet Jesus holds the universe together by the word of his power. Finally, the teacher asked her students, now is this the kind of person you ask into your life and entrust your life to assist you? If he can hold all that together, he can hold you and I together. He can hold this universe by the power of his word, the word of his power. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly, immeasurably more. Amen. There's a giant of a God who lives inside every believer. I believe that. And he dreams beyond dreams. He dreams big dreams because he's a big God. And Jeremiah 29:11, when I was newly saved, became such a scripture, a rhema scripture to me. It was, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. It's plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come to pray to me, and I will listen to you. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And it goes on in chapter 33, verse 3. The Lord says, call to me and I'll answer you, and I'll tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. This is the God of the universe. I think if we, you know, people say it's significant insignificance. If we're so small and there's so great vastness, as Louis Giglio put it, significant insignificance. It's like God's eye is still upon you. You are still the apple of his eye. You are still his treasured possession. And he sees all of creation. He will see you and I. And that would be those eyes towards you. If he looks at the sparrow, how much more important are you than the sparrow? And he knows that every sparrow that falls to the ground, every single one. And he knows so much about and loves and his eyes upon you. And so, friends, God's on call 24/7. He's willing and waiting. And God's people, we call to lead out, we call to lead in, we call to be the head and not the tail. And we've sung some songs in recent times. I'm going to see a victory, for the battle belongs to the Lord. He's won the victory, and we overcomers because he's overcome. We more than conquerors because he's conquered. And then it says this scripture in 2 Corinthians 2:14, and backs this up. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. It's Christ. It's God in you who causes you to triumph in Christ. And we ride forth in triumph with the Lord. I've got a new ride on a Triumph, a British bike. It's a great British bike. I had to bring it in somewhere. And it's a prophetic encouragement to me. God is able to do more than I could ask or imagine. I never thought I'd ever ride such a nice motorcycle. It's like, that wasn't even in my equation. I didn't even reckon that this was a possibility. And yet it came to me more than I came to it. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like God wants us to see the victories, see the that he's able, you know. I don't want to get to heaven and find that there's a bank account that I've never drawn on, that I've never, ever accessed. It's like I've never, ever used my debit card or my withdrawal card, whatever. There's so much credit in heaven, it's inexhaustible. There's no end to it. There's no end to what God can do. And so God has way bigger dreams than any schemes, devil schemes. You've got to know that. But it also, the Bible warns us, don't be unaware of the devil's schemes. And I was reminded, I've used this illustration once before, but you know, as a child, you may see puppets on a stage. And how many of you remember the old puppet shows? and you think it's genuine. As a child, you're like, wow, this is the real thing, you know? There's voices, these things are moving, and especially the youngest children. But as you mature, you realize there's another force at play. Something else is pulling the strings. And day to day, when we go through life, we might think that this person's got it in for you. This person's having a go at you. But then you realize behind the front is a hurting person. Hurt people hurt people. And there's somebody who maybe is still a child at heart, and there's still brokenness and still pain, and they're hurting out of that brokenness and out of the insecurities. And so Priscilla Shearer, she said the story of how the discerning toddler, frustrated, was obviously going on behind the puppets. She went to, this young toddler went and pulled the cover off, you know, the base of the puppet show, just pulled the cover off and saw three sheepish adults sitting there with the puppets. And they were exposed. The point being, there's always something you cannot see, controlling what you can. Remember that. There's always something you can... You cannot see controlling what you can. If you spend your time expending energy on what's visible, on the symptoms of the problem, what's popping up in relationships, your workplace, your finance, your marriage, you'll be hitting it at the wrong level. And that, and you end up being exasperated and exhausted. And I remember this illustration where a guy said there's topical things and there's relational things or character things. And he says, often we like problem solvers, I'm guilty. You know, what's the issue? What's the problem? Let me fix it. Meanwhile, there's a relational issue. There's a mistrust, or there's broken trust, or there's pain, or there's something, you know, I don't feel good when you say those things. There's something relationally going on. And we're thinking, well, we'll just solve the problem. If it's that, if it's a dirty counter, I'll clean it. If it's that much of an issue. Meanwhile, you don't honor me. You don't respect me. You just leave a mess in the kitchen. Sorry, I'm just, that's not you, it's me. So there's times there where we just realize that there's something deeper going on. We've got to pull back the curtain. We've got to look for the root, not just the fruit. The bad fruit's very visible, but the root is not always so visible. And so this morning, as we look at inheriting promises, what are you believing for? How big is your God? He's the God of all creation, distant galaxies, but he's also God of the nations, a God of all the earth, and a God of you and I. He created you. You are his handiwork. You are his masterpiece. You are, nobody's got your DNA. Nobody's got your fingerprint. Nobody's got your retina or DNA, your, what is it? Your, yeah, retina. Yeah, nobody's got that. Nobody. You are unique. Nobody's got your DNA. Nobody in 7-8 billion now. Nobody's got your DNA. That's amazing. And they never, nobody ever will have your DNA. And the promises of God and the faith that's required to inherit them will always be tested. Smith Wigglesworth said, great faith is a product of great fights. Great testimonies are the outcome of great tests. Great triumphs can only come out of great trials. How many of you have been through some tests? How many of you have been through some trials? How many of you have been through some fights? I mean, talking spiritual fights. Don't own up. Yeah, and then let's look at this passage in Numbers. You know, they spied out the land, and we see in Numbers 14, verse 1 to 9. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. Doesn't really sound like a victory song, does it? All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt. This is a woe's me moment. Or in this wilderness, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and our children will be taken as plunder. Man, that's pretty bleak. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. When Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there, and Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, they tore their clothes and they said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, and I've highlighted this, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection's gone, but the Lord is with us. You will always be in the majority when you're with the Lord. Do not be afraid of them. You see, they had a pessimistic view of their prospects, and the people challenged both God's purposes, his power, and ultimately his promises. They said, you know, is God willing? Is God able? But they were just thinking in the natural. And then Joshua and Caleb are filled with faith. Faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Confidence of what we hope for, the assurance about what we do not see. And I love this little, faith is believing it so when it's not so because God's going to make it so. Faith is believing it so when it's not so because God's going to make it so. Thank you, babes. God's with you. You're always on the winning side. What God will fulfill, he's promised he will fulfill. He will come through on what he's spoken. And our hope is unshakable because his promises are unbreakable. I want that to be on my epitaph or my tombstone. God's able. He's seen me through to the end. I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live in the life I live. I live in the body because of the one who loved me and gave his life for me. Has God given you a dream, a promise? Hold on to it. Don't through faith and patience, you'll see the promise fulfilled. And I heard a testimony yesterday, the day before, and I've asked the guy to share. He's away at the moment, so you might try and work it out who it is. But he's with his family. And it's been a longing of this man's heart from the age of a young man to see himself in a particular role. And it's taken probably 20 years. But man, he's moving into it. Tailor-made. God knows the timings. And you see, Joshua in the Bible is special to us. In our first year of marriage, Bibi didn't know she was pregnant, but she had a dream. God loves to give dreams. I hope you're having a few dreams. But she had a dream that she was pregnant, and she gave birth to a son, and she called him Joshua. In faith, she had a urine test, and which came up negative. Then she had a more accurate test, and it came up positive. Medically, they were uncertain, but God was certain. God had spoken. So even when medical science doesn't prove it, man, God had already spoken. God had said, I don't care what medical science says, I've spoken, and this will be come to pass. God had revealed it. And you know, the name Joshua means the Lord saves. Yahweh saves. It's a powerfully prophetic name. And God's raising up Joshuas, even in this church. He's raising up Joshuas that will seek and save the lost. Seek salvation in the name of the Lord. And so when Joshua was about 5, I was describing this biblical account of the land of milk and the land of honey. Immediately added, you see, I've got a big box because we've got a big God. And cornflakes. He said, what good is milk and honey without cornflakes? 5-year-old knew you needed cornflakes to go with the honey. And God wants to fill your bowl to overflowing with lots and lots and lots and lots of cornflakes. Overflowing. If you don't remember anything, remember that this morning. You got your breakfast this morning. God wants to fill your bowl. He wants to, you know, God's got so much vision that he wants to impart to us. What else is there? What else has God promised? I want to go after God and the greater things that God has said and that are yet to come. You see, what good is milk and honey without cornflakes? And God had the cornflakes in mind in the promised land. And then Moses' successor was Joshua, and he saw through eyes of faith. He recognized, yes, there were giants, there were formidable giants, but there was a bigger God. God was large, God was in charge, he was the giant of a God. He could take out the smaller giants. Just remember, they fall hard. So, yeah, he saw the walled cities, but he saw a bigger God. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. But the Lord is with us. Do not fear, big God. And you know, this song, as a child, I never got to sing, but I like it. And I love quoting songs, as you know. And I won't do the actions, but my God is big, big, big. You see, I can. My God is big, big, big. His love is wide, wide, wide. And my heart, and in my heart, he lives inside, side, side. Don't you like that song? I think it would be a great children's song. My God is big, big, big. I can just imagine the actions. Hey. And his love is wide, 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 and you push everybody in the face. And in my heart, he lives inside, side. You see, God is able, he's willing, he's more. I run out of words. He's exceedingly abundantly, immeasurably more. And Joshua is to lead the people into the inheritance of the promised land, but he needed the word of the Lord. Don't we all need the word of the Lord? What's God been saying to you? He's a rewarder of faith. And then this is the passage that I'm going to spend a little time on this morning. God promised Joshua in chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. It's a lovely passage, and we've spent some time visiting it. Richard preached a great preach out of this. You know, stop waiting, stop, start stomping, and keep going. Yeah, stand, take your stand, even in the storm, even when the wind, and you hold on to that tree, hold on to the cross. And the storm, you know, there's a picture that Ken used and Richard used of that sense of holding on to that rock on which we stand. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, you need the word of the Lord? He needed it too. Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the river Jordan into the land I'm giving to them, to the Israelites. I'll give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Generational inheritance here. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And that's in the New Testament as well. I think it's 3 or 4 times. I will never, ever leave you. I think it says never, ever, ever leave you and ever forsake you. It's just reiterated again and again. Be strong and courageous because you'll lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. There it is again. Be careful to obey the law, all the law of my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to your right or to your left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Man, friends, where are we going to turn? God's word. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The Lord your God is with you, and he will be with you wherever you go. You see, Moses and Joshua are described as servants of the Lord. It's a title that Paul and Jesus himself even bore. Do you know that you're a servant of the Lord? Yeah. I hope you do. Because it's been said, if service is beneath you, then leadership is beyond you. But you see, it goes further. To be a servant of the Lord is a blessing for every believer. He's our master. He's our Lord. We are his subject, his servants, and we do his bidding. And Joshua is told to pay close attention to the words God has spoken. He said, he's instructed, obey them, speak them, meditate on them day and night, put them into practice. Wow. And as I said, be careful, watch your thoughts, because they'll become your words. Watch your words, they'll become your actions. And watch your actions, it will become your behavior. Watch your behavior, it will become your character. Watch your character, it will become your destiny. It all starts with the thoughts, then the words, then the action, then the behavior, then the character, then the destiny. It all starts with our thoughts. And that's why when they filled their hearts with unbelief and doubt, they weren't going to inherit anything. They had to start believing what God had said. The words of God, when they fill your mind and thoughts of truth and freedom and love and victory and peace, man, then you see the fruit of that. God promises Joshua victory, he promises him inheritance and ultimately rest. But he had to say to him, be strong and courageous 3 times. Because in himself, he was weak and fearful. I can relate. And then there are so many people that almost are, what did you say to me this morning? Risk averse. People have been so risk averse because you've been under such a sense of fear, really national or international fear, that will you ever not wear a mask? Will you ever give hugs again? You know what I'm saying? Will you ever be able to love again in a demonstrated way? I hope I will. I'm planning to. But you're in good company because, you know, Joshua, he needed encouragement. Corrie ten Boom, she faced the horrors of Ravensbrück concentration camp. And she said, worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. Sorry. Worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength, carrying 2 days at once. It's moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of strength. Powerful words. And she said, worry is an inefficient cycle of thoughts whirling around a center of fear. Don't let fear rob you, friends, of the blessing God wants to give you. And so I'm going to just share three S's and that's it. God promises strength. God promises strength. No one will be able to stand against you. Amen. Joshua 1:5. Lesson to be learned. What God asks you to do, he'll give you the power to do. God promises strength. What God asks you to do, he'll give you the power to do. Second, you see, I'm going through these quickly. God promises success. You will be successful. Joshua 1:6. Lesson to be learned. God wants you to succeed in serving him. He doesn't want you to be a failure. Amen. You see, God's promises of success is not based on your ability. It's based on your commitment to his word. Third thing, God promises support. So not only does he promise strength and success, but he promises support. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Joshua 1:5, second part of that verse. And I'll be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. God's personal presence. And the lesson to be learned, God's word done God's way will not lack God's support. God's word done God's way will not lack God's support. And Joyce Meyer says, don't be weighed down by your failings in your past. We all have a past. No matter how bad your past is, you can get past your past. I like that. You can get past your past. God can give you a new beginning. He can use you greatly and give you a future. So friends, in tying the thread of what God's been saying these last few weeks and months, there's no future in your past. Let that sink in. There's no future in your past. Neither your past failings nor your present circumstances need to determine your future. Jesus, friends, is worth it all. In the words of the song, and we, you know, I think I couldn't put it better. I lift my hands to the coming King, to the great I am, to you I sing. For you are the one who reigns within my heart. And I will serve no foreign god or any other treasure. You are my heart's desire, the spirit without measure. And to your name I will raise my sacrifice. He's worth it all. Friends, he's worth more than property. He's worth more than possessions. He's worth more than people, relationships. He's worth it all. This is just a dressing room for eternity. That's all it is. What we do does count for eternity. As C.T. Studd put it, I love Brian's biographies on some of these great mission people of the past. Only one life and it will soon be past. Only that which is done for Christ will last. That's sobering, friends. No matter what we do, only that which is done for Christ will actually go into eternity and count for eternity. Measure everything through that filter and you'll live your life very differently. The treasures on earth are not the treasures in heaven. Man, the treasures in heaven, God knows what those treasures are. And they're often secret. Whether it's prayer or whether it's acts of kindness and love. So friends, what ground do you need to take? What ground do you need to take back? What steps of faith do you need to take and what steps of patience? Stop waiting, start stomping. And you see, it's quite a mouth twister that. Stop waiting, stop stomping, start stomping and take a stand in the storm. He promises strength, success and support. Father, I want to thank you this morning that you are for us, you are not against us. And as we heard this morning, if you be for us, then who could be against us? God, you are overall, you're the overarching authority. You are the supreme authority. You are sovereign. God, you are truly large and you are in charge. There's nothing that, God, you are not able to do. And Lord, let our faith rise in our hearts because it's only through faith that we are going to inherit the promises. Only through patience. And that's going to be a test of our faith. Are we willing to wait? Are we willing to keep believing? And Lord, maybe going through the desert so many years, hearts grew weary. God, people started grumbling and mumbling. God, let us not be in that camp. God, we don't want to die in Egypt. We want to go into the milk and the honey that you have and the cornflakes too, Lord. We want to see all that you have for us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And one of the promises God has is he says, repent and be baptized. If you have never been baptized, it's a step of obedience. It's not an optional extra, it's a step of obedience. Come talk to me. Father, I want to thank you that even as we heard last week or was spoken the last few weeks about the baptism of the Spirit, that's another invitation, Lord. And I pray that many would ask and receive and be filled to overflowing. In your name, Jesus. Amen.